On today's show, quite possibly the most entertaining game of the season so far for the Houston Rockets, going toe-to-toe with a very good Toronto Raptors team, coming just a little bit short, but seven guys scoring in double figures, some incredible passing on display from Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green also with his share of the playmaking in this game, and also the Houston Rockets rookies showing out, Jabari Smith Jr. trending up after a rough start to his rookie season, and Tari Eason just absolutely sensational, despite the fact that he needs to get into some layup lines and practice making shots right at the rim. We're going to talk about all of it coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green and Jabari Smith Jr.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
You're getting somebody who's going to come in with a chip on their shoulder, somebody who's going to come in and compete from day one.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another edition of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and credentialed media member. I'm also the host of Locked On NBA Mondays, host of the State of the Rockets podcast, as well as Rockets Watch. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, free and available wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube, where you can help the show out a ton by commenting anything below. Remember, four to house, four to team, 4D algorithm. The comments help out a ton. This was such an exciting, fun Rockets game. This might be my favorite game of the season so far. Even though the Rockets lost to the Raptors 116-109, it was competitive. This was a good Raptors team, a very good defensive Raptors team that takes you out of a lot of what you wanted to do offensively. And there were so many great kind of developments from this Rockets game. I mean, first off, we can take a look at the ball movement. That's my new favorite thing to do after every Rockets game, is look at the passing stats. We're going to talk about that. An incredible, probably the best passing game of KPJ's Rockets career. Jalen Green also doing a fantastic job playmaking in this game for his teammates. A really great all-around game from Jalen Green. Alperen Şengün off to a strong start in this game. Didn't get nearly as many touches throughout the game as he probably should have. And credit again to the Raptors defense for doing that. But a strong game from Alperen Şengün, who is your Locked On Rockets player of the game as voted on by you guys. Jabari Smith Jr. and Tari Eason, the Rockets rookies, showing out in this one. Jabari Smith Jr. trending in the right direction after a rough start to his rookie season. And Tari Eason, sensational off the Houston Rockets bench, despite the fact that, yes, we do need to get him into a layup line expeditiously so that he can work on some layup drills, because he missed so many bunnies in this game. But I want to start with, let's start with Al P really quick, just right off the top. Locked On Rockets player of the game, because I felt like he kind of set the tone for this Rockets game, and then everything else kind of stemmed from there. And what I mean by that is the Rockets came out in the first quarter and hung 37 points on the Raptors. And again, they were in this game all the way up until the finish. We'll talk about, you know, the end here in just a second, some backbreaking threes by the Raptors down the stretch. But LP had 9 points in the first quarter and got to the free throw line a handful of times, was kind of getting whatever he wanted against the Raptors defense. And so then credit to Nick Nurse, they adjusted. They basically forced the ball out of Alperen Şengün's hands the rest of the way. Again, using a combination of double and triple teams, and then also the Rockets not necessarily getting back to those Alpi post-ups, but just the threat that Alperen Şengün provides on the floor kind of would put the Raptors defense into rotation to where other guys could get things going. So Al P starting the game off strong. And then defensively, he had 3 blocks in this game. This was probably the best defensive performance of the season so far from Alperen Şengün.
Give me that shit.
Play that clip. He had a lot of blocks in this game. It, you know, was holding his own in the paint against the Raptors. But the big development over these last few games, and especially in this one against a very good Toronto Raptors defense, was the ball movement by the Rockets. The ball movement has been absolutely incredible over these last few games. But the problem was, against the Timberwolves and the Magic, it's like, all right, well, they're kind of bad teams. Not great defense. You're expecting better ball movement against subpar defenses. To be able to move the ball as well as the Rockets did against a very good defensive Toronto Raptors team is a super-duper encouraging sign. Rockets wound up having 29 assists on 37 made field goals. Now, the problem is they generated so many quality looks in this game, and they just could not hit anything. They were shot 44% from the floor and 25.7% from long range. So they had a lot of quality attempts. They just weren't converting on them, but it's the process by which they were getting those shots is exactly the development that you want to see. And Kevin Porter Jr., probably the best passing game of Kevin Porter Jr.'s career as a Houston Rocket. So many driving kick opportunities, so many great reads and recognitions throughout this game. And the numbers back that up. It's kind of crazy. KPJ, his stat line for the night, he finished the game 12 points, 11 assists, 4 of 11 shooting, 1 of 6 from deep, got to the free throw line 4 times, hit 3 of them. You know, you look at the box score and you're like, all right, you know, solid night from KPJ, 4 turnovers, okay, cool. The 11 assists is really impressive. But then you go look at the actual passing stats. Kevin Porter Jr. had 24 potential assists in this game. That is absurd. And then Jalen Green, just below him. Jalen Green had 6 assists and then 8 potential assists on top of that. So combined, between Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., the Rockets had 32 potential assists. 32 opportunities for buckets. Be it three-pointers, be it cuts at the rim, be it shots in transition, whatever. The Rockets guard, this is the best playmaking game, tandem playmaking game from Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green that we have ever seen. Against a very, very good Toronto Raptors defense. And so that, to me, was one of the most important developments from this game, is just seeing how KPJ was breaking down the Raptors defense, his ability to be patient at times, making the right reads, getting the ball. Like some of the kickout passes that he had when he drove in and like got into the teeth of the Raptors defense and swung him out. He had one that he kicked out to Jabari Smith Jr., where unfortunately Jabari took forever to load up the three-pointer. And he wound up getting blocked, actually. But it was such a great feed and find by Kevin Porter Jr. Had so many of those passes throughout, you know, the entirety of this game. And even though the Raptors adjusted after that first quarter and really started to take away, you know, the opportunities for Alper and Şengün out of the Houston Rockets offense, Kevin Porter Jr. did a great job steadying things out, you know, generating high quality looks. And the Rockets just kind of fell really flat there in the second quarter. Unfortunately, only 17 points scored in that second quarter. Thankfully, they had enough of a cushion from the first quarter to where they didn't go into the halftime with a gigantic deficit. But the Toronto Raptors definitely had a lot of the momentum there going into the halftime period. And then they came out in that third quarter and they kind of battled back and forth with the Raptors all the way to the final stretch of this game, where unfortunately the Rockets defensively, some of the rotations were off here or there, you know, switching off the ball and guys, you know, not communicating well enough on who was supposed to switch and who's supposed to stick with who. And Fred VanVleet had, you know, a big three-pointer late, then Otto Porter Jr. had a pair of back-to-back threes, and those are just some, you know, those were some back-breaking buckets to go down when the Rockets were like right there just knocking on the door of taking this game on the Raptors' own home court. Again, Alper and Şengün walks away as your Locked On Rockets player of the game as voted on by you guys on Twitter and YouTube. I'm going to make Kevin Porter Jr. the honorary Locked On Rockets player of the game, though. Like when the coaches and the MVPA vote on who they think the MVP is versus who actually is the MVP, KPJ is the honorary Locked On Rockets player of the game because I was really impressed with his play throughout this game. And this is the type of KPJ where if he can be this type of player every single night, then I'm really looking forward to seeing how the offense continues to develop as we navigate the season, because this type of offense, the ball movement, the passing, the ability to break down a defense as good as the Raptors was, this is the type of stuff that we weren't seeing over the, you know, first, I don't know, 6 or 7 games or so. And really it's only kind of happened over the last three games or so, where the ball movement has just been a complete breath of fresh air. So loved what we saw out of Kevin Porter Jr. in this game. Loved what we saw out of Jalen Green with his playmaking, his facilitating as well. A really all-around game from Jalen Green. He had 21 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 2 of 6 from long distance, 3 of 4 also at the charity stripe, matching Kevin Porter Jr. Had 6 rebounds, had 6 assists, also had 4 turnovers. There were some moments between Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green with, you know, an errant pass or, you know, a poke check by the Raptors defense. They were closing off driving lanes. The Raptors defense is nothing to turn your head at. They did a very good job making the Rockets uncomfortable in what they wanted to do. And yet the Rockets were still able to generate a lot of high quality looks. If they had just sunk a few more shots this game, then we could be talking about a Rockets win rather than a Rockets L. Coming up, I do want to talk about Jabari Smith Jr., his trending in the right direction after really struggling to start the season. Showing some emotion in this Raptors game, which was a great sign to see out of Jabari Smith Jr. And then Tari Eason, who was sensational in this game, despite the fact that he missed so many shots right at the rim. We're going to talk about those two guys coming up in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best, most qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. And once you have the job post made on LinkedIn Jobs, all you have to do is add the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it incredibly easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so that you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNBA to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Let's talk a little Jabari Smith Jr., who is now trending in the right direction again, which is a great sign to see. 15 points, 10 boards, only one turnover in 31 minutes of play, was 4 of 11 from the floor, 2 of 8 from long distance, made to the free throw line 6 times, hit 5 of them. Of his 10 rebounds, 2 of them were offensive boards. And he had a play this game where he got the ball in transition and finished through contact at the rim, which was a great sign to see, kind of, you know, Jabari elevating and finishing the way that he did, because that's, you know, not necessarily something we have come to expect from Jabari, finishing, you know, empowering through contact like that. But he was amped up after that play, right? Flexing on the Raptors and, you know, kind of, you know, being very vocal after that moment. It felt like that was kind of the maybe not turning point, but just it was a much needed energy thing for Jabari, right? Where he could, you know, get a little hyped up about him and kind of gas himself up a little bit. And after that play, he hit a couple more threes, right? He had a three-pointer to start the third quarter. He had a three-pointer later, you know, a few minutes, not long after that transition bucket where the Rockets were running a play and Alperen Şengün commanded a triple team, and then the ball got kicked out to the perimeter and then it got swung to Jabari, and then Jabari just drains a three. So there were, you know, ample opportunities for Jabari to capitalize on his three-point shooting in this game. The 2 for 8, you still want to see that number start, you know, actually start trending in the right direction. But this was a good game to really kind of, I guess, for Jabari to just kind of build on, right? Because he hasn't had a good game since the home win against the Jazz. And he's been really up and down so far this season. So for him to have just a solid night, 15 and 10, that's something you can build on. And seeing the way that he, you know, he got a majority of his shots from the three-point line in this game, yes, but he had the one finish in transition. He had the other mid-range bucket where the Raptors were at, you know, for stretches of this game, running kind of like a zone defense look, and KPJ dimed him up, you know, got him the little bounce pass, and Jabari was able to just elevate right there from the mid-range and drain an easy two. So I liked the looks that Jabari got in this game, and it felt like, overall, a solid game from Jabari Smith Jr., trending in the right direction. Defensively, need to start seeing a little bit more from Jabari. You know, there were moments in this game where he was the primary on OG Anunoby, and he would, like, lose track of him running around screens, especially early in the game. OG got loose so often early in this game against the Rockets. I was begging for somebody to check him. And then also the fact that even though he walks away with 10 rebounds in this game, the Raptors were crashing the offensive glass relentlessly. Scottie Barnes walks away with 7 offensive rebounds. The Raptors as a team had 22 offensive rebounds. So I expect a little bit more in the way of boxing out, putting bodies on guys defensively, that kind of thing. The rebounding battle was neck and neck. Raptors has 50 rebounds to Rockets 49, but it was the offensive rebounds that the Raptors were getting that was really frustrating. They were getting so many extra opportunities, extra cracks at it. And when you look at the discrepancy in total shots taken between the Raptors and the Rockets, then you're like, yeah, those offensive rebounds were kind of the difference maker in this game, the second chance points. Because the Raptors had 102 shot attempts this game to just 84 by the Rockets. By and large, the Rockets did a good job taking care of the basketball. They didn't, you know, have any, they didn't have like a crazy number of turnovers in this game, especially in the first half. They did a really great job taking care of the ball. So the game was kind of decided there in the rebounding department, because the Raptors also didn't have a fantastic game shooting wise. They shot just 41.2% from the floor, just 34.1% from long distance. So they weren't, you know, having an incredible night compared to the Rockets night. They, you know, Rockets, they were shooting better than the Rockets, but the Rockets were also getting to the free throw line quite a bit more. 31 free throw attempts for Houston to just 20 by the Toronto Raptors. But also want to talk about Tari Eason here, who had probably his best game as a Houston Rocket, and some really encouraging signs, but also some really disappointing moments from Tari, because it's just like, Tari could have had 25, 30 points if he had just hit his layups. Like that's how frustrating this kind of was. And he smoked some easy layups late in the fourth quarter that were, you know, could have really helped the Rockets out. Maybe, you know, kind of get them over that hill and, you know, kind of get back into it. Well, not get back into this game, but take the lead in this game, I should say. But Tari finished with 14 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, and 5 steals. He had 4 steals in the fourth quarter. Just using his length, playing those passing lanes, getting out in transition, doing all the little things that Tari Eason does. Unfortunately, 5 of 15 shooting from the floor. So that's the thing that's got it cleaned up. He smoked so many layups right there at the rim. And I think the funniest thing was after the game, Taroya Eason shared a screenshot of her texts with Tari right after the game. And it was just, it was a really cool glimpse into kind of, you know, this dynamic between her and her son and how upset Tari was. Tari said that it was his fault that he missed those layups. And then he drops an F-bomb because he's just like, he's mad at himself, right? And Mama Eason, you know, basically says it's, you know, accountability is good, right? And basically kind of reassures him that what he's doing is right, that he's going to be okay. But I love that dynamic between those two. And I love that Tari is taking this hard, right? He knows that he messed up, that he missed those layups, and that he should have had those buckets, and that the Rockets maybe could have had a win on the road against a very good Toronto Raptors team. But I love the trust also from Steven Silas to allow Tari Eason to play such a pivotal role for this Rockets team in the fourth quarter, to play some crunch time minutes. And on top of that, we finally got a look at the lineup featuring Jabari and Tari together, in addition to Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, and Alperen Şengün. We got that lineup for a solid stretch of run in the fourth quarter. And I loved what we saw out of them. That, to me, is one of the future go-to lineups for this Houston Rockets team, either with Tari in there at the three or KJ Martin in there at the three. I just love that lineup has so much size, athleticism, shooting ability, shot creation ability, cutting. Like you get a little bit of everything with either of those two guys, but it was great to see Tari and Jabari kind of sharing the floor in a really important game. And with the Rockets, again, right there on the precipice of being able to win this game against the Raptors, just, you know, some blown possessions here and there late, you know, in this game, some moments that could have gone one way or the other, some shots that were made by the Raptors, you know, some tough shot making, you know, a couple things break a little bit differently. And this Rockets team is right there with the Raptors. This wasn't a blowout. This wasn't a disappointing loss. This was probably the most encouraging game so far of this season, right? It was fun to talk about the Orlando Magic win, and it was cool to, you know, have Jalen Green go off for 34 points and beat Paolo Banchero and all that stuff. That was a fun game. But this game against a quality opponent in Toronto is probably the most encouraging one that we've had so far this Rockets season, with so many different positive developments across the board for guys on this roster. So Coming up, I do want to talk about final thoughts from this game. I want to talk about KJ Martin, his role, his performance in this game, as well as some of the decision-making at the end of this one with the lineups and just the lineups as a whole, as Steven Silas is kind of, it feels like it's kind of settling into some of the identity for this Houston Rockets team with his lineups, with his substitutions. We're going to get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, as far as the Rockets lineups go, it really does kind of feel like, and there are still, you know, some key pieces missing, so it's kind of TBD on what things are going to look like when Jayshon Tate returns to the lineup or when Bruno Fernando returns to the lineup. Also, I should not have buried this, but the Rockets are sending Ty Washington down to the G League, so we will get some Ty Washington RGV Vipers action here in the not-so-distant future. Had that in my notes, completely missed it until segment three, so I apologize for that. But it feels like Steven Silas is starting to settle into an idea that he likes with his lineups, and what I'm seeing there is he goes with the starters, right, and Şengün is kind of that, you know, early substitution out, you know, around, you know, 6 or 7 minutes into that first quarter. He leans heavily on Jalen and KPJ, and they're still, you know, playing, you know, mirroring each other's minutes the entire way. And then what he does is he goes with that goon squad, as Ryan Hollins is electing to call them, which is going to that three-man group off the Rockets bench: Usman Garuba, KJ Martin, and Tari Eason. And those guys come checking into the game for Eric Gordon, Jabari Smith Jr., and Alperen Şengün. And then KPJ and Jalen are left out on the floor with those three guys. And that shift gives the Rockets some much-needed, like, defensive intensity, energy, versatility. They're able to get out and really run in transition. Both KJ Martin and Tari Eason are able to just kind of wreak havoc when they're out in transition. So athletic, you know, great cutters. Guys who can make plays happen defensively, and then you just get out and run, right, with your two dynamic guards leading the charge. So that feels like the go-to kind of first quarter substitution pattern. And then near the tail end of the quarter is when Jalen and KPJ both go sit down. Dacian Nix and Eric Gordon then, you know, comes back into the fray. And then you've got Nix and EG out there with those three guys, the goon squad. Situationally, you'll throw Garrison Matthews out there for some very spot minutes, although it feels like Gary Bird is now the lowest on the totem pole as far as minutes are concerned. He just got 4 minutes in this one. Pretty much out there just very, very briefly so that Steven Silas could spell Eric Gordon and KJ Martin the way that he wanted to, so that he could get them back into the game. And then the ability to then have Alperen Şengün kind of check back in at the top of the second quarter for Usman Garuba and kind of run that second unit. That kind of feels like what Steven Silas has been going to the last handful of games, and foul trouble has played its part situationally in some of these games where, you know, Alpi had to sit, you know, because he picked up a third foul in, I don't think it was the Magic game. I think it was the Timberwolves game. But I like that substitution pattern, and I like kind of what Silas is doing with some of the rotations here as of late over these last three or so games. I'm still not the biggest fan of Silas not staggering Jalen and KPJ, because at this point, you look at the game that Jalen was having, and even though the ball movement was great for the Rockets in this game, and even though things are trending in a really positive direction offensively for this team, they're one of the, over the last three games, they're one of the top offensive rated teams in the association. But I take issue with the fact that Şengün got just 8 touches. Jalen Green just got 14 touches or shots. I feel like both of those guys need to be made more priority in the Rockets offense, right? Where, Partly for Şengün in this game, it was because the Raptors were taking the Rockets out of what they wanted to do offensively, so that's understandable, because of the double and triple teaming that was happening, that kind of stuff, and some of the zone defense looks were causing the Rockets trouble. But Jalen Green should get 20-plus attempts a game in his sleep without it being even an issue. So, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at as far as if Jalen and KPJ were staggered, Jalen would have more time on the floor to himself, to where he could be very clearly the focal point of the offense rather than sharing some of those opportunities with KPJ when they're on the floor together, or conversely, the fact that when the Rockets have that lineup out there of Knicks, EG, and then the Goon Squad, Tari, KJ, and Oos, I'd much rather have Jalen out there instead of one of those five guys or instead of Knicks or EG and have Jalen be the one taking the majority of those shots rather than just some really stagnant offense kind of being played where, you know, things would devolve where it'd be like a, you know, a Tari Eason drive in from the wing and try to force something at the rim, or KJ drives it, or, you know, a pick and roll with Garuba where the defense kind of stops him in his tracks and then he has to whip it back out to Eric Gordon, who then isolates with 10 seconds left on the clock. So that Goon Squad lineup is really good for a lot of things. It's not good for generating half-court offense, though, is the problem. So I've liked some of the lineups, and I've liked some of the substitutions. I don't like the idea of not closing with Alper and Şengün. I understand it in theory, but Steven Silas opted yet again to close without Şengün in the final five-man lineup. In this game, he opted to go with KJ Martin and Eric Gordon, along with Jabari Smith Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, for about the final three or so minutes of this game. And I just feel like with how good Şengün was playing offensively and how easy he makes things for this team offensively, where he, you know, gets the defense in rotation and generates some really high quality looks for his teammates, you need to rely on that in the closing moments of a game. I don't want to see Şengün continue to be punished, especially because he was actually holding his own defensively in this game. There were some defensive breakdowns for the Rockets, but I don't think those were, I mean, some of them were on Şengün, but a big part of it was the Rockets' rotations were kind of all over the place at times, and they were switching but not communicating, little things like that. And my thing is, I understand in theory not wanting Şengün out there in the closing moments for defensive purposes, but the answer to me is not Jabari at the five, I don't think, right? Jabari, to me, hasn't shown enough quite just yet as a defensive piece, which is concerning in its own right, and talked about that earlier. Need to see more out of Jabari defensively. But Jabari at the five to close, I just don't know how confident I feel about it right now. And I'd much rather, like, if the idea is, okay, we need a defensive guy in there, then close with, like, put Tari in there to play the big or play the five or just, you know, kind of be the man on the rebounds, you know, and be the interior presence. Or put, better yet, put Garuba back in there. Like, let Garuba close some of these games out, because Garuba had a fantastic night as well, just doing the Garuba things that he does. 4 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, had some really great passes out of the middle of the floor, breaking down the Raptors' defense, had some great blocks in this game. KJ Martin had some great blocks in this game, 13 points, 5 of 6 shooting, 6 boards, 2 blocks for KJ. It was a block party in this game, and Alpi, Garuba, and KJ were all invited to the block party. It was a ton of fun. This was a really exciting game. Again, I still think there are some decisions that are being made late in games by Steven Silas where he's trying to, you know, outsmart the opponent. And I think he's outsmarting maybe himself at times as far as, like, you know, going with, you know, different variations of his of five guys or whatever. And it's just play your best five guys, right? Alpi's one of your best five guys. Alpi deserves to be on the court in the closing moments of the game. And whatever's going to happen is going to happen defensively. If Alpi is out in the closing minutes of a game and the Rockets lose the game strictly because of Alpi's defense, then you can go back and use that tape and be like, hey, you're not closing games because this is happening. But we haven't even really seen that yet. So let him have a chance. And then you might also have a chance to generate some better offensive opportunities with Alpi on the floor in those closing moments. So those are my final thoughts from this Rockets-Raptors game. All in all, a great all-around performance, a really encouraging game for the Houston Rockets. Hopefully something that they can continue to build on as they move into their next game, Saturday against the New Orleans Pelicans, which should be a very, very good one. Should be a ton of fun for this Rockets team going up against the Pelicans on the road. They do come back to Houston for a brief stretch before that game. There will be like a Rockets practice Friday afternoon or so, so be on the lookout for the footage from that practice that I'll have up on the other YouTube channel, but as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.